What is atonement? When you think of that word, atonement, do we think only of the holy day that is commanded in the Bible, or is there a deeper meaning and fulfillment of that word, that biblical word, atonement? Have you ever considered what atonement really is, what it means? It's a word that appears 99 times in the King James Version of the Bible, and we know that it is a commanded holy day of God. Let's just read that command in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. Leviticus 23 verse 27 reads, "Also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the day of atonement. Shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So in addition to being the name of an annual holy day, in many ways, atonement is also an often misunderstood biblical concept by many in the world of Christianity, and most have an understanding that really does fall short of the meaning of that word atonement. One of our Kagwa pastors tells a story about an occasion when he was asked a question by a Jewish rabbi, a rabbi of Reform Judaism, who discovered that our pastor kept the Day of Atonement. And he asked our minister what he believed the Day of Atonement meant. And so our pastor gave him a brief but fairly complete description of his belief. He explained about Leviticus chapter 16 and that the Day of Atonement was observed with rituals involving two goats. The first goat was sacrificed, representing Christ who gave his life for the forgiveness of sins of each one of us and for the whole world. And he explained about the second goat, that it was not killed but was sent into the wilderness, into an uninhabited land or a desolate place, and that this goat, we believe, represented Satan, who is the source of all the sins of mankind and on whose head the sins of mankind would be placed. So he went through that explanation. He also pointed out that this ceremony was outlined in Leviticus chapter 16 and told him that it would be fulfilled in prophecy in the events in Revelation chapter 20 when Satan would be chained and cast into a bottomless pit, bound for 1,000 years. So that would fulfill that part of Leviticus chapter 16. Our minister then asked the rabbi what he believed that the Day of Atonement meant. And he was surprised to find out that the rabbi really had a very different interpretation of the meaning of the Day of Atonement. He said that in preparation for the Day of Atonement, if you had done something to someone that was wrong, you had done something wrong to somebody else, you had to make it right. And he gave the example, he said, for instance, if you had sold somebody a car with a bad tire, didn't tell them about it, you should buy that person a tire to make it right and make the relationship good. And that was his understanding. Well, in one sense, the rabbi wasn't wrong, but the meaning of that word atonement and of the holy day itself has far more to it than simply making something right with our neighbor. Certainly nothing wrong with that, but has much more meaning than that. I want to explore a little bit, as the Day of Atonement approaches, simply the meaning in the Bible of the word atonement. And I want to begin by first simply quoting an online dictionary. You look up the word atone. Atone can mean make amends, so it can mean that, or reparation. Synonyms include apologize, redeem, absolve, appease, balance, or correct. That's just from an online Oxford online dictionary. The Zondervan Expository Dictionary of Bible Words, if you look up the word atonement, points out that it comes from the Hebrew word kippur, K-I-P-P-U-R, which is the noun, and kapar, to kapar, K-A-P-A-R, the verb. And both words are translated atonement. And there, Zondervan says they are intimately linked in the Bible with the forgiveness of sin and with reconciliation to God. Linked with the forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to God. Then if you go to Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament words, and you look up to atone, that verb form kapar, says it's defined as to cover over. And most uses of the word involve the theological meaning of covering over, often with the blood of a sacrifice, in order to atone for some sin. We have several interesting meanings: forgiveness, reconciliation with God, covering over by the blood of a sacrifice. So here the rabbi was describing how people might try to make atonement, how they would try to make atonement for their sin, for their own sins. They would attempt by making amends to make atonement for their own sins, to restore a relationship with their neighbor. That is, making restitution and then trying to reconcile with others. And again, those are good things, to make restitution when we've done somebody wrong, or to reconcile with someone where we've had a problem. But again, there's something even more important about the word atone in the overall scheme of things. We understand that atonement is a way, provides a way, kippur or kapar, to cover over, that atonement provides a way for us to be reconciled to God through His forgiveness of our sins. Through His forgiveness is what God does. God forgives our sins, and we can be reconciled to Him. And so the annual Sabbath, called the Day of Atonement, that we'll be observing on Monday, symbolizes also that removal of the instigator of sin, Satan the devil. And you know, many in the world of who observe atonement really don't have that concept. The origin of the word atone helps us understand a little bit more the meaning, the origin of the word atone. Again, other meanings of atone from the dictionary: to be in harmony, to agree, or to be in accordance. That's from the word atone. To be in harmony, to agree, to be in accordance. What about meant? M-E-N-T, as in atonement. What is M-E-N-T? It's a suffix indicating the result of an action. So it's what happens as a result of some action. Atonement. The action being atone or kapar, and then ment describes what happens through atonement. So atonement means being in harmony or at one with God, through a restored relationship. Being at one with God, in harmony with God through a restored relationship. But again, how does that take place? Let's analyze that word atone a little more. Turn with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Again, today we just want to look at the word atone or atonement. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Notice what the book of Isaiah tells us about why we need to be reconciled to God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, our sins, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. In other words, we're told that sins separate us from God. So in order to be restored to a right relationship with our Creator, we know those sins simply have to be forgiven. But there's nothing we can do to make restitution to God. Nothing we can do to make restitution. Nothing we can do to pay for our sins and the death penalty they incur. We can't, you know, pay like 20 years of Sabbath keeping for the 10 years of Sabbath breaking before we came in the church. There's no equivalent payment for or making restitution for. We simply have to be forgiven, and that can, of course, be by being covered with the blood of the sacrifice of Christ. We read in Leviticus 23 and verse 32, or we read in Leviticus 23, verse 32, that we're commanded to afflict our souls, to afflict our souls. The word translated afflict means to humble or weaken oneself by fasting. We humble or weaken ourselves by fasting. And we know that the purpose behind that is not to do penance, as, you know, some have taught about fasting. It's not a form of penance, that is something we do to have our sins forgiven. It's not some form of penance, but to humble ourselves before God because we're asking His forgiveness. We're wanting His forgiveness. And where does reconciliation come from? And what does it mean to be reconciled to God? As we explore the depth of that meaning of the word atone or atonement. Look at another meaning, the word reconcile. I think we're familiar basically with the meaning. It means to restore, as to restore a friendship or restore harmony to a friendship. Be at one again is another meaning of reconciliation, to be at one again. Having been at one at some time, but then becoming separated for some reason, but now becoming at one again. Sin separates us from God. We don't want that. We want to be at one again with God. And that happens, of course, through the sacrifice of Christ. So when we discuss reconciliation and atonement with God, we see that those can come only from one place. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. When we seek reconciliation with God, Romans 5, let's read verses 8 through 11. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We receive reconciliation. We don't reconcile, we receive reconciliation from God through Jesus Christ because of His sacrifice. As you recall Peter's words in Acts 2:38, we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's action. God reconciles us to Him based on we have to repent, we have to express sorrow for sin and accept the sacrifice of Christ. But to follow this process, we're seeking God's mercy and unmerited gift of forgiveness that restores a right relationship with God. Then we can be at one with God. And that's our desire, to remain at one with God. And when we're not at one with God, to restore being at one with God. All pictured again by the Day of Atonement and in that word at one or atonement. Or to atone. Turn with me to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. We find, again, God's hand in all of this. Psalm 79 in verse 9. Psalm 79, verse 9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Your name, and deliver us, and provide atonement for our sins, for Your name's sake. God provides atonement for our sins through the sacrifice of Christ. Again, atone, cover, meant the action that follows that, that is a result of that. God provides atonement for our sins so that we can be at one with Him. We also read back in Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 in verses 7 and 8. Romans 4 verse 7 and 8. We read, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Receiving atonement from God and receiving reconciliation from God is a very personal and special gift. It's very personal. It's between us and God one-on-one that we receive atonement and reconciliation from God. It has to do with our personal one-on-one relationship with God, who is our loving Father. We know it means having our sins forgiven and then being in a right relationship with our Creator that we're trying to sustain with God's help throughout our lives, be in that right relationship with God. So the symbolism of the Day of Atonement described in the Old Testament that we read there in Leviticus chapter 23 and Leviticus chapter 16, or Leviticus 23 and Leviticus 16, that symbolism in the old of atonement in the Old Testament lays out the meaning of an event that will take place after Christ returns to establish God's government on the earth. We know that event is prophesied in the book of Revelation. Let's just turn to Revelation 20 and read those scriptures, because this is symbolized by that second goat cast out into the wilderness. Revelation 20, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. That's a different event. The symbolism of the Day of Atonement included the ceremony in which the sins of the people were put on the head of the scapegoat, as it's often translated, the scapegoat. We understand that in our English language today, a scapegoat is someone who is unfairly made to bear the guilt for others. But we also know that the Hebrew word used here doesn't mean that. That Hebrew word azazel, which can be translated goat of departure, many point out that that name is the name of a demon inhabiting the wilderness. The Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible points that out, that this would describe Satan. Satan, the devil, who takes responsibility, and responsibility for sin is placed on his head. Then that live goat was sent into the wilderness, or an uninhabited place, to fulfill the symbolism here in Revelation chapter 20. When Satan is confined, in a bottomless pit for having deceived mankind, and God holds him accountable for tempting mankind to sin, then Jesus Christ is going to be able to teach God's law, God's way of life, to all human beings on the earth who will embrace and accept in time those truths. That's the time we look forward to, because all human beings will have the opportunity to receive atonement from God and reconciliation from God, with Satan the devil bound and out of the picture. In the meantime, in this life, for each of us, as we go about our daily life as Christians, God calls on us to repent when we sin, to seek to overcome sin with the help of His Spirit, to deeply repent and ask His forgiveness when we do sin, and to become reconciled to Him by what He does. He offers us reconciliation when we sin. He offers us atonement when we sin. And to have our sins atoned for and to be at one with Him is, as I said, a deeply personal thing, something for which we are greatly thankful. And the Day of Atonement helps to refresh our understanding of that as well. One of the most powerful calls to repentance is found in the book of Joel. Let's turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And let's read in verses 12 through 14. Certainly it is a call to all of us, as it was to Israel then. Much of this is in the context of the day of the Lord. God is calling all to repent, but of course not all will repent in this age. Not all are being called in this age, although God wants all to repent. Joel 2 verse 12. Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. This is how we come to God, how we ought to come to God when we sin. We come to God with all of our heart, just laid out open before God, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. We go to God in that frame of mind, with that type of attitude. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent, leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Return to the Lord because he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. God calls us to repentance today when we sin, so that we can receive reconciliation from him, and so that we can receive atonement from him. So God says he's always ready to forgive, and he wants to have a relationship with those who in this age, at this time, humble themselves before him, and who repent of sins when we sin, and who seek reconciliation from God, and who have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, for the remission of sin. We do that because we are seeking to be at one with him. So after Christ returns and Satan is put away, forgiveness and reconciliation will become available to everyone all through the earth, as it has been made available to us. So this is, again, a focus on simply the meaning of the word atonement, as it fits into the title of the Day of Atonement. At one with God, reconciliation and atonement from God. It's a deep meaning, and again, one that is very personal to us in our relationship with God. I hope it helps us understand and appreciate the Day of Atonement even more.